Well, good day to you. It's Joel with For King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
Why were people on the street not dropping dead? Why was it only people who were admitted into hospitals that were given, sometimes in Tennessee, I think they were given close to $500,000 per patient if they would give them remdesivir and put them on a ventilator?
You're listening to Chiseled and Called with Brittany Dawn, a podcast about finding freedom in imperfection and peace in your broken pieces through Jesus. Our prayer is that today's message will bless you, embolden you, and fix your gaze on the King, that it will stir up the calling God has placed within you. Without further ado, here's your host, Brittany Dawn.
Hey, y'all. Welcome to the Chiseled and Called podcast. If you are new here, I am your host, Brittany Dawn, and today I get to interview Lee Allen Baker. She is absolutely incredible, you guys. So on fire. So courageous, so bold, so on the front lines of so many different moving pieces in our current culture, this current generation. This entire conversation today is honestly so incredibly eye-opening that I felt like I need to go back and at least review some things, listen to some things again, because that's just how many takeaways this episode holds within it. She is an actress and a producer who has blazed her own path and pushed back against agendas as a Christian. And for that, I am forever so proud of her. Without further ado, let's hop in. Well, welcome to the podcast, Lee Allen. How are you?
I'm so great. How are you?
Oh my gosh, I'm so good. And I'm doing great now because I get to be interviewing you and get to hear your story. And kind of like we were talking about before this, I just feel like we have a lot in common with just the way that the world is as Christians. And so, yeah, I'm just excited to get to know you more and give you a platform to speak about your story and your testimony and your journey.
Great. Well, I'm so happy to be here. When you first got on, my manager was like, you have to go on your phone. I was like, oh no. And then when she clicked on, I was literally like looking at something like, this is my point, like my little aging eyes trying to find the small print. But I figured it out, and here we are.
Technology sometimes, it's a doozy.
Yes, it is.
Well, I was telling you this before we started recording, but I saw your post about on Instagram from a few weeks back, and you were saying, I've been canceled 4 times. I'm uncancelable. And I was like, my girl, like that is the headset, the mindset to have these days, because it's just people are getting sick of it. People are so over it. And I just applaud you for being as bold as you are with such a platform that you have and being in Hollywood. And we'll get into all of that. But before we jump in, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? I'm sure a lot of people know who you are, but there might be some that don't. So who are you? What do you do? And how did you actually get started in Hollywood as an actress?
So my name is Lee Allen Baker, and I'm an actress. I'm probably most known as the mom from Good Luck Charlie, America's funniest mom. I was America's favorite mom until I stood up for children everywhere. But I think I'm slowly regaining that position back as people are waking up to the, you know, the atrocities and lunacy of our current landscape.
Yeah.
But this is just me. I became an actress because I felt that God put it on my heart to do so. And I tell the truth. I don't know. Someone asked me why I'm so unafraid to tell the truth. And I tell you what it is. If I don't speak the truth, I feel like it's a betrayal to myself that I kind of don't feel right inside about it. And I feel like my health takes a hit for it.
Wow.
And I feel like it's disrespectful to other people to assume that somehow they can't handle the truth.
Yeah.
It's disrespectful. And everyone is thinking what I'm thinking. And honestly, that is what was most loved about my character on Good Luck Charlie, is that she said what everybody else was thinking. And oh, well, that's now what I do in real life. I say just what everybody else is thinking, but too afraid to say.
Yeah, that's so good. And it's so true. Like, I feel the same way. I'm very bold online and I speak biblical truth and I speak it with love, but I speak it firmly as we're called to do and not to back down. And sometimes people are like, how do you find the courage to do this? And I'm like, I guess when you've walked through fires, I've also been canceled like 5 times.
Yeah. It's like not
so,
a thing.
So when you've walked through that, it just gives you this level of like courage, I guess. The Lord uses it to build that armor around you. And it does. It just makes it feel second nature. So I just applaud you for that.
The Lord puts you through situations that shape you into who He wants you to be.
Yeah.
And I think I spoke at a school board meeting. That video went viral. It like burned down the internet. And all I said was so non-controversial is that, you know, people have the right to choose whether they want to wear a mask or not, or get a vax or not. And I'm not doing those things. And the school board of all groups of people don't have the right to even be sitting there making that decision.
Yeah.
It's unethical. It's illogical. It goes against the Constitution. It goes against all rights of humanity to think that a school board, I mean, they say you can't wear a mask on Halloween to school because that's so dangerous, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I just pointed that out. And again, it took off. And at first, when it went wild, I walked into our local restaurant and these girls came up to me and they started jumping up and down. They said, "Your video went viral." And I said, "What video? What are you talking about?" It was the furthest thing from my mind.
Wow.
Saying what I said would have been so controversial.
Yeah.
It was actually very sweet what I said. I was very thankful to be there and to have the freedom of speech and to be so grateful to move into a place where I was met with such love and kindness and open arms. And so it was shocking to me that that was so controversial. But alas, I guess it was.
Yeah.
You know, so, but then I got home and I felt like I'd done something wrong. I really had that moment of like, what did I do? And then I started getting death threats and my children got death threats and I've had rape threats and every other kind of threat that you can imagine.
Gosh.
And I thought I felt like a little girl who had been in trouble.
Yeah.
And their little tactic of like pressing it through the media.
Yes.
For a split second worked. It quieted me down for a split second.
Yeah.
And then what it did is it just, you woke the sleeping bear, really. You poked the mama bear and you shouldn't have poked me.
Yeah.
Because then I came out fighting and realized, what did I do? I questioned authority. Oh, I questioned authority. And the more I said that to myself, oh, I questioned authority, the more it became like, well, duh, I questioned authority. You're an idiot if you don't.
Yeah.
And so I became bolder in my stance on absolutely everything.
Mm.
And I'm not going to go down without swinging. And if they're going to come out and try to imprison a society and a world and the World Economic Forum, try to gain control over every human soul, I'm going to come out and pop them in the mouth.
Wow. What a way to kick off this episode. That is fire right there. You just said everything that so many of us as Americans are feeling and thinking. You really did. You just wrapped it all up in a matter of a few minutes. And to live, I just can't imagine living, because you've moved now, I believe, but you used to live in Los Angeles in California.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I can't imagine what that must have been like. Did it ever feel like a foreign place to you, or did it always feel like home because you kind of grew up in the Hollywood scene, or what was that like?
I loved it and I really loved it there. And, yeah. And I mean, it didn't rain as much as I like, but you know, it was so sunny all the time. There's a lot of pressure to be on all the time, right?
Yeah.
But I really loved it there. And I really loved working for Disney. Best work experience that I ever had in Hollywood was working for Disney Channel.
Wow.
It's that people, you know, I had someone say to me the other day, what made you radically change, Lee Allen? And I said, whoa, I didn't radically change.
Yeah.
They did.
Yeah.
I was ready and willing to continue to go to work. But they said I had to stand in a circle 6 feet measured from another person because at, you know, a certain distance, I wouldn't get it an inch further away, an inch closer, I would. And that I had to stick a product from China with ethylene oxide on the tip that causes cancer. I had to stick that up my nose to my brain. And if it's such a deadly virus, why do I have to test to see that I have it? And if I wear this mask, according to the Rockefeller lockstep manual, that's just an authoritative step that they're going to lock in before they force a vaccination. And I am not giving up my bodily autonomy and my sovereignty of my body to a bunch of psychopathic elite globalists.
Yeah.
They call themselves elite. I don't think of them as elite. I think of them as just a bunch of rich beep. I'll just not even say the word. I'll bleep myself. You're welcome.
That was hilarious. It's so true, though. Like, it's just, yeah. I mean, everything about COVID was about control. And it didn't take you very long to see that. I mean, I pushed back immediately when they came out with the vaccine. I was like, I'm not getting it. Like, I don't, if you are putting all of your trust in the government and these vaccines that come out of left field, come out of nowhere, I'm very like anti-vax, which that's a whole can of worms in itself. But when that came out, I was like, it just reminded me why I've always been that way. And it is, it's just a terrible time to be putting your trust in government officials who call themselves elite. And we need Jesus. We need God in this country more now than ever.
Yes. And I say to people who don't believe, you better, if you want your freedom to do what you want to do, you better get behind One Nation Under God, whether you believe in God or not. Because if you're not One Nation Under God, you're One Nation Under man. And boy, man is really can be evil.
It so much so. I mean, it's never been more crucial of an election year than it is now. I'm literally wearing my Donald Trump shirt.
There you go.
I'm like, I just, and I always like to throw people off too when they're like, are you left, right, conservative, Democratic? And I'm like, I just follow biblical things. Like, I follow what the Bible says. And if it aligns with the Bible, that's probably the direction I'm going to lean, which I've always been conservative.
So, but I lean, leave me alone.
Yeah.
I lean, I am the party of leave me alone.
Yes. Amen.
The party of you have your freedoms. We've all been given free will by God to make all the stupid little mistakes we want to make. Mm-hmm. Thank you, God, for that.
Yeah.
But that means that someone that I may disagree with has the right to make whatever mistakes that they want to make. They have the freedom to do so. And I support that. I support them the freedom of all religions, because if someone else can't have theirs, then I can't have mine.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm of the party of less government, more we the people.
Yes.
And I always get this question too. So I'm going to address it for the first time ever on your show.
Okay.
I always get the question of, oh, you support Palestine. Oh, you support Israel. Oh, you support this. Oh, you support that. Here's where I stand on that. I want to be very clear. I'm on team nobody blow anybody up.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm on team nobody cut children into little bitty pieces. Yeah. I'm on team nobody rape anybody, nobody kidnap anybody, nobody overtake anybody. Yeah. That's the team that I'm on. And I can't believe I have to say that out loud.
Yep.
I can't believe that that is a crucial statement.
Yeah.
Tim, everybody looks at it as this side versus this side.
Yeah.
I see it as we the people versus these few little Hunger Games elite on top controlling this little puppet show.
Yep. You're so right. Well, it's just like I keep referencing your Instagram post, but you just dropped fire post at the one about the ants, the black ants and the red ants.
Ephesians, yeah.
And how, like, if you put them in a jar, they'll get along. They'll learn to coexist together without any animosity. But if someone were to come in and start shaking that jar, they're going to start fighting each other. And I'm like, when I heard that, I was like, that is such a revelation in itself. Like, I had to sit there and unpack it for a minute, because that's exactly what is happening. First, the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Like, we
authorities and principalities and the evil spirits. Yes.
Yep. Yep. We know we've got that. And then you throw the elites in there and the government, and you're just like, wow, what a beautiful, peaceful world it could be if neither of those existed.
Yeah, think about it.
Yeah.
If me or you or our neighbors were in charge, would there be war? No.
Yeah.
People don't want to go. I don't need to conquer anybody. I don't need to conquer any land.
I'm just trying to conquer my day.
And I'm trying to get through a day without eating chocolate.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't need to overtake anybody. And most people, liberal or conservative, most human beings feel that way.
Yeah.
They want peace.
Yeah.
The group of people in control that make millions and billions and trillions of dollars in a military industrial complex, and it pays for us to kill each other off. They reap the reward and they depopulate.
Yeah, it's so true. And it's just, it's so sad. That's a whole thing we could go on. So you were in Hollywood and you played this incredible role in Good Luck Charlie. When the script was flipped for you, I'm assuming during COVID, what was that like?
Yes.
So you were just like full speed ahead in the middle of probably living out your dreams, honestly, because you had wanted to be an actor since you were a kid. And is that when you felt like the tangible shift in the atmosphere was when COVID really hit and started kind of consuming California?
I felt COVID coming in the end of 2019.
Wow.
When they had been having a lot of behind closed door meetings at the state capital of California, where Governor Newsom signed into law a bill that would remove all medical exemptions from children for vaccines. So see, here's where the war gets lost. People don't realize this. So let me backtrack it.
Yeah.
Okay. The ground is you want bodily autonomy. You want to decide what injections, if any, go into your children. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, the government said they come in and they really don't have the right to make that choice to, and what on the one thing you're allowed is a free education in this country. They don't really have the right to say you can't have it unless they get this. But what they say to people is they say, okay, we're going to say you have to have it in order to go to school. And then people fight it. And then here's where the concession, you shouldn't have conceded. The concession is fine. We'll make it a mandate that you have to have it for school unless you have a philosophical exemption, you have a religious exemption or a medical exemption. And the people said, hey, that sounds like a fair trade. I'll take that deal. Well, now you've established that they have authority to make that decision.
Wow.
So what do they do next? They come in and they say, oh, you don't have a philosophical educational exemption. You don't. You can't just know more as a parent and you don't have that right. Oh, no, you don't have a religious exemption anymore. And what did they do to prepare for this? At the end of 2019, they removed only 4,000 medical exemptions for vaccination for vaccine-injured children in the state of California. Two of them were mine, and they removed those medical exemptions from children.
Oh my gosh. It was just all pre-planned, all of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what's so scary in this world that we're living in. And I have friends that, so I kind of already stated, I'm, without getting into personal details, I'm very anti-vax. Some of my best friends are as well. And just the vaccine injuries are so real. And this is a conversation that my husband and I have had because we're not parents yet. I've had two miscarriages. We're on our own trying to conceive journey through fertility appointments, but that's a real thing. Like you have to prepare for that and have those conversations before you're at the hospital giving birth, because
you really do. And if you notice, it's something that they don't, this is what I would say to people. Don't take my word for anything. Do your own research.
Yeah.
They don't want you to do the research. Now ask yourself, why don't they want you to do the research? And you're not going to be able to find studies on the vaccines. But what you can do is look up every ingredient on the vaccines and find the studies on all the ingredients.
Wow.
That's what I did. And when I found that my children had all of those symptoms.
Wow. Bingo.
That's when there it was. In fact, I learned about my one child's vaccine injury through, thank you, Merck Pharmaceutical, because I learned it through their manual. If I hadn't read that and found that in their manual, I was just believing my doctor saying, well, it is an injury from the vaccine, but they'll be fine. It's no big deal that he had encephalitis, swelling of the brain for 6 hours post-vaccination and screamed this high-pitched scream that ended in a seizure.
You know, oh my gosh.
And now can't talk.
Wow. I had seizures as a kid too, and I'm not entirely convinced that it wasn't because of the vaccines that I was.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't be convinced of that either if I were you.
Yeah. So, because they were all undiagnosed, they were unfounded. They couldn't figure out why. And, there were some that I didn't get, but there were some that I did. And I'm just not convinced that that's what
and
it
I
was.
I just want to tell people like really quickly without really going into detail. These are the kind of questions that you need to ask. Why, when I was a child, did I get 5 and injuries were way down, even though they did occur? And now a kid can get 72 to 77. Why do they, by the time they're 18 months, have like 30 vaccines, more than most adults will ever receive in their lifetime? Why is it that a 200-pound man gets the exact same vaccine as a 2-month-old baby? The measurements are the same because it's not done by body weight. It's done by the number of cells in the human body.
If you guys haven't heard by now already, in the month of October, I launched a new business called Hazel and Lane. Seeing what God has done so far has absolutely blown our minds. And if you don't know what Hazel and Lane is, let me give you a 20-second Cliff Notes version. In October of 2022, I had a miscarriage that would forever change a lot of things in my life. But what happened next is something I never would have expected. In my most broken moment, the Lord birthed a beautiful new thing. Just days after my miscarriage, I had an open vision of what I am currently living out with this business, a women and children's boutique. One thing led to another, and 1 year later, October of 2023, that vision came to life. Hazel and Lane were the two names that we had picked out for that child, and now every day is a sweet reminder of the children that we have waiting on the other side of heaven. It's been nothing short of amazing, and I am so incredibly grateful for the way that this community has rallied around this dream. If you are looking for a Christ-focused business to support this holiday season, or just want to shop around for yourself, you can visit us at hazelandlane.com. That's H-A-Z-E-L-A-N-D LAYNE.com. And while you're there, you can use the code podcast for free shipping. Every package is prayed over and put together with love. Oh my gosh. I didn't know that. Those numbers, that's hard to even process. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
And at the same time, I do want to get this message across to people.
Yeah.
Hey, if it's your right, I don't get to tell you what you do. Mm-hmm. You do the research yourself and you decide for yourself. And if you want to do that, then go for it. You know, one pill that can save one man's life can absolutely kill another.
Yeah.
So you better do your own risk assessment analysis on that.
Yeah.
I'm for freedom.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Well, and I applaud you for doing the research and knowing you're so wise in this, so much more than anyone I know personally. And I guess that comes with when you've walked through the fire that you have. And
yeah,
and,
unfortunately, no one knows more about vaccines than parents of vaccinated children.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm just, I'm so sorry. Like, that's probably something that it forever changed your life. But to see the Lord using it now as a beautiful part of your story, to be a sounding board. And it's like, I see this like picture of you on a hill with like a megaphone shouting to like inform other people, like, hey, look into this for yourself.
Yeah.
Not forcing it on them, not telling them they have to do it the way you did, but just keep your eyes open. Like those who have eyes to see, see. And I just, I'm so proud of you for stepping into this, what it is, you know. And
thank you.
So you saw COVID coming in 2019 before it really hit.
Because God turns all bad things for good, right?
It does.
And so the nightmare that I had been walking with my children ended up being the very thing that saved our lives, because I knew that this was coming. I saw it coming.
Yeah.
And I didn't take my children and roll up their sleeves and put them in line for this.
Yeah.
Because of what we had sustained already.
Yeah.
It's not possible for them, right? It would have killed them and I wouldn't be doing it anyway. Any medical product that wants to hide the findings and the results for 75 years is not a medical product I'm willing to put my health in. And the Bible says we are perfectly and wonderfully made in His image. It doesn't say, except for your pesky little immune system that needs all these injections from the most corrupt pharmaceutical industry in the history of the world in order to function. It just doesn't say that.
Yes, that's so good. So true, too. I've never heard someone word it like that, but that's like hits the nail on the head. God doesn't say anything about that in the Bible. At least to my knowledge, to what I've read, I have not seen that.
In fact, it does mention that beware of sorcery, which the Greek word for sorcery is pharmakeia. So,
yeah. Yep. And then the symbolism of we could go down that rabbit hole.
We could go down the rabbit hole all day.
Yes,
but,
yes.
But yes, yes.
It's so true. So on point. So, so you saw COVID coming. And then, so where was the point that you guys got out of California? What was that like?
So I think I made it about 58 days of lockdown and I was feeling the pressure. Now, I was more paranoid than most, because I saw the big picture of where they want to go. Mm-hmm. And when you have that vision, you don't know how fast they're going to do it. Like, there are doctors, Dorit Reese is her name, Dorit Reese. And she had been saying publicly that she dreams of a future where they can walk into a parent's house that won't vaccinate their kid and tie down the kids in front of the parents and inject them against the parents' will. She said that on a video.
Oh my gosh.
So this has been in the works for a while, them wanting to force mandate. Even Warren Buffett had said in his book that it's an untapped financial market to force mandate vaccines for adults. So when you have that big picture, the panic increases. And I was not going to be stuck in California. And, you know, Gavin Newsom already said everyone has to have one in order to get back to normal. So 58 days of lockdown, and I called Southwest Airlines and I said, are you guys mandating masks? And they say it was a Saturday. And they said, no, we're going to mandate them Monday, I think. I said, because that makes sense. Because on Monday, the virus is going to get the memo.
Monday,
it's going to be really contagious. You know, it was so stupid.
Oh, my gosh.
And also, I want to say this, too. A lot of people think that I'm heartless of people who died. I'm not. I'm not. Yeah. People did die 100%. When I compare it to the flu, which now so does the CDC compare it to the flu.
Yep.
You don't realize how many thousands of people die of flu complications every year, like hundreds of thousands. And except for that year, there were none died of flu. They all died of COVID.
Ironically.
You know, and I would say I don't have all the answers for all of this. But what I do have are questions. Why were people on the street not dropping dead? Why was it only people who were admitted into hospitals that were given, sometimes in Tennessee, I think they were given close to $500,000 per patient if they would give them remdesivir and put them on a ventilator? $500,000 per patient. So these things, we have to like add up the smoking guns and realize this just doesn't make sense, right? So 58 days I made it of lockdown. And then I turned to my husband and said, I can't live like this anymore. And I had been locked down for so many days. And in California, you know, they were encouraging people, if you see someone out without a mask, you can turn them in anonymously. It was just very
petty.
It was all so very like Nazi Germany that I was just like, I'm out. This state is beyond repair.
Wow.
Peace out. And so I fled overnight to Tennessee with my kids.
I don't blame you. I was actually in California when I was out there for work and just north of Los Angeles for a training. And whenever I got word that COVID was like here, and I was had been out there, I think, for like 4 days, 5 days, something like that. And I remember the night before the whole country shut down, my dad texts me and
that was on March 13th. That's my birthday.
Uh-huh.
My birthday.
Yeah. So this would have been March 12th. Mm-hmm. And my dad texts me, who's a former pilot. So he understood what was about to happen with the airlines. He said, you need to get home to Texas now. And I was like, what's going on? You know, it's just none of us had ever experienced that. And I did. I was on one of the last planes out of LAX that day before everything shut down for, you know, however long that was. And it was just like on the way home, on my flight home, I remember it was just the weirdest feeling. Like I had a mask on. I was like, what is this mask I'm wearing? Like, what is this world I'm living in now? Like everything just felt so weird. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget that. But yeah, the whole, just all of it, it's a form of control. It's a form of this and that. And
it's a form of humiliation too.
Yes.
To be afraid.
Yes.
And to feel like your safety has to be like, let me just ask people. I have a sincere question for everyone living in California. Do you seriously think that Gavin Newsom knows what's best for you over you know what's best for you? Like,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't trust any politician. I don't trust any of them. I don't put my health or trust in any of them.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I am happy to live in a country that is one nation under God, because that's where my authority and sovereignty lies.
Amen. Well, and I just, during COVID, I was one of those that questioned everything. Like, why do we have to do that? Why do I have to wear the mask? Why do I have to wear a mask to go to Sonic? Like, this makes literally no sense. It didn't make sense.
Right.
And I remember getting in some like head-on-head like disagreements with people that I just pushed back. And I said, I'm not doing that. I'm sorry.
Right.
I got COVID. Both my now husband, when we were engaged, we were literally, I guess, we were a month out from our wedding. And I got it bad. I have asthma.
Mm-hmm.
So it hit me pretty hard. It was very scary. My OT levels dropped really fast. Jordan, my husband, drives me to the closest ER, and he just about jumps the counter, and he's like, "You're gonna get her the monoclonal antibodies," and which is what Trump was kind of pushing for. That I guess kind of got shut down. When I say that actually helped me more than any vaccine ever would have, it was literally just antibodies for your body to help fight, you know, whatever it was doing to my cells. I was a different person in like 5 hours, like completely different person in the best way. And when they tried removing that from like all of the ERs and hospital systems, I got so mad because I was not on the verge of death, but I was struggling to breathe. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, a healthy 31-year-old at the time, like, shouldn't have any issues breathing. I was wheezing and like my face was pale and I couldn't move without feeling like I was gonna pass out. To go from that to perfectly healthy. And I'm like, I don't need a vaccine. I need whatever the natural stuff that you just gave me. Like that's what I need. And it was just like that whole moment was a revelation for me, because I saw how many people were sick in that ER room that could have been getting what I got.
Yeah.
My husband had to literally jump the counter almost to get them to do that for me. Not literally, I say that. He's just a very like, do this kind of person.
Well, when they take away all other avenues that you could be exploring for health, and it should be your choice in that hospital, and you realize it's because they're getting paid to push something else, and then it's being banned for them to use other things.
Yep.
And then you realize that like remdesivir, its nickname is run death is near, because remdesivir was one of the drugs in trials for Ebola. It's one of Fauci's drugs. And it was killing so many people that they decided you stand a better chance with Ebola than you do with remdesivir. So they took it out of the trials. It didn't even make it through the trials. And then it became the only thing that they could use for this. I mean, it's, I think that Fauci has a lot of war crimes to answer for. So that's my take on him. Look, I think a lot of people in high places have a lot that they need to be held accountable for by the people.
Yeah. No, I couldn't agree more. That's, again, it's a whole conversation that we could have. So you now prioritize Christian content, which I love. Yeah. And I truly believe that this world needs so much more of. And you've partnered with Kirk Cameron to produce and launch this new show. Can you tell us all about it?
Yes, it's called Adventures with Iggy and Mr. Kirk, and it's kind of like a Sesame Street meets Mr. Rogers. It's going to deal with modern day issues, and it's also just going to be some good, wholesome entertainment that puts God and family first.
I love that. There's such a need for it, especially with kids shows. I mean, again, we don't have kids yet, but this is a conversation that my husband and I have all the time of like, we had friends over the other night, they have a six-year-old, and just like even scrolling through Netflix or trying to find something.
No one's interested in making content that that six-year-old can watch that keeps her pure and unindoctrinated. No one is interested in that. So that's the good news. The good news is the lane is wide open and we just need to drive down it.
Yes. Well, I'm proud of you guys for doing that because it is so necessary and so needed. And I just can't wait. So where can everyone find that when it comes out? It comes out when?
So we're going to be filming at the end of May.
Okay.
So if you can go to, I believe it's bravebooks.us.
Perfect. Bravebooks.us. I'll put all of this down in the show notes too. That way people can go find it. That is so exciting though. So, I mean, I'm sure that's been so redemptive and so fun getting to work on this and produce this. And
yeah, so
how
fun.
Sweet that your kids will get to watch it too. And that's just so cool. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this is going to be really good. And it's just the beginning of people really kind of taking control back. And then in April, I have a book coming out. They haven't really told me I could talk about it, but I'm going to. So I have a really good book that I wrote for kids coming out April 2nd.
Okay.
And I'm so excited to share that with everyone. We're gonna shake things up and take the princesses back.
Do it. Do it. I am here for it. I am cheering you on, cheering you guys on. This is amazing. Like you said, there's not really anyone driving in this lane right now and it's wide open.
Yeah.
Like go claim it while you can. Yeah. Okay. Wow. Well, thank you so much, Lee Allen. This was so good and truly so like insightful. And so you just have so much wisdom in this arena. And I applaud you again for being so bold in a time such as this. It's so needed. And I think in your boldness and your willingness to step up to the plate and speak against these things, it's encouraging and giving courage to other moms out there who are having these same dialogues with their private families, but they're starting to push back a little bit as a mad mama bear. So
that's right. That's right. It was all fun and games until you came for the kids. And now the mama bears are awake and paying attention.
Yes. Yes. Amen. Well, thank you so much. I'll leave all of the information down in the show notes below.
Thank you so much.
I have so many takeaways after talking with Lee Allen, like so many, not necessarily questions, but things that I now want to research on and even do a deeper dive myself. I don't know, just I've always had a question everything mentality because if it's not from God and it's man-made, I feel like we have permission to question it. That's just my personal approach, my personal conviction. And not in like a derogatory way by any means, but a why should I put this in my body type of way. So I hope that today's episode encouraged you and blessed you and maybe even spurred something within you to do a little deeper dive and research yourself. At the end of the day, your body is your temple and how we choose to steward that is up to us, just like Lee Allen said. Thank you so much for stopping in and I will see you guys in the next episode.
If you'd like to learn more about Brittany Dawn, you can find her personal platforms and ministry through the social links below. Thank you for listening in today. And remember, there's no depth that God will not go for you. His grace is sufficient, even here.